Blog Talk Radio.
Prosecutor in the Rosenberg atomic bomb theft spy case.
It's, that case in and of itself is one that I studied. All the prosecutors, the judge, and whoever else they could get were all Jewish, so that they couldn't, communists and the progressives couldn't say that the prosecution was anti-Semitic. Roy Cohen used to pay about $100 per male prostitute, and he died of AIDS. A great German conductor conducted the Houston Symphony, Christopher Eschenbach, born in Germany. A great folk singer, Native American, Buffy St. Marie, born in Maine, I believe. And then the woman who played the mouse, that's what Elizabeth Taylor always called her, Sandy Demas, in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. She was the wife of George Siegel. Peter Strauss, another actor, born today. And then Patty Hearst's birthday today, and those of you remember her in the SLA, and it has a connection to the Steve Neri U.S. Navy case. We'll get into that another day. And then this rock singer, Kurt Cobain, who committed suicide, he was born today. Among the interesting deaths, Frederick Douglass, the great civil rights anti-slave and author, lecturer, orator, he died today. The guy who discovered the North Pole, Robert Perry, U.S. American citizen, an Australian composer and pianist, and he was a health nut. He used to flagellate himself often. Percy Grainger, born today. The greatest admiral and the chief of the Navy in World War II, Chester Nimitz, and whom those of you who live in California know that he's named, the Nimitz Freeway is named after him. He died today. His son also, I think, became an admiral. He almost lost his position in the Navy. I think he lost a piece of his finger or something. A great Swiss conductor, music conductor, Ernest Ansermay, was born today. One of the biggest sleazebags in media, Walter Winchell, was born today. Russian Jewish ethnicity. And he's the one who railroaded, using the Hearst papers, railroaded Tokyo Rose, as she was called, Rose D'Aquino, who was an American citizen of Japanese ethnicity and who was one of 20 women who broadcast for the, Japan during World War II. She got stuck over there and was told, if you don't broadcast, we're going to execute you or put you in a concentration camp. She was about 20 years old. And she happened to be the one who was at the station when the Americans landed in Tokyo after the signing of the surrender of the Japanese, the story in and of itself. It's a case that I worked on independently when I was with ACLU. Clarence Nash, the voice of Donald Duck, that quack quack, he was born today. No, he died today, excuse me. And then the this British film director and producer, Derek Jarman, died today. Among the interesting events, the son of Henry VIII, Edward VI, became king on this date. I think he only lasted a year or two, died very, very young in his youth. And then his sister, his older sister Mary, she succeeded, and she became, returned England to the Catholic faith, or tried to for 5 years. Then she died, and Elizabeth I became Queen of England and brought back Protestantism, or Anglicanism, as they're called. And those of us who are concerned about the post office and the increase in stamps, in 1792 on this date, the U.S. Post Office was created. At that time, stamps were 6 cents to 12.5 cents, depending on the distance that the letter had to travel. Now, and I said this when the post office said, we're going to have the forever stamps and they're never going to raise rates. I said, no, they're going to raise rates, and they've done it twice, and the stamps now are going to go up to 50 cents. There will be less deliveries. I remember during the 60s, there were 2 residential deliveries, 3 in the business districts, and Saturday and Sunday. There were not Sunday, but except during Christmas, there were deliveries. And there will be less pickups at these boxes on the streets. And we'll get into how you can make sure that when that letter absolutely positively has to get there and on time, so you don't get your rent check or your credit card payments in the mail or utility payment, that you don't get docked. And then on this date in 1809, and we're still having this problem today, especially in places like San Francisco and other places where they think the cities are more have greater authority than the federal government, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled, and when the Supreme Court rules, it's a stare decisis, and it stands in all lower courts, U.S. Court of Appeal, the military courts, there are military courts, the bankruptcy courts, the district courts and the state courts all have to follow and obey the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling. And only the U.S. Supreme Court can overrule itself, which it has done in cases involving civil rights especially and interstate commerce. But they ruled that federal power was greater than any state. Of course, tell that to some of these clowns out here in California. In 1861, the Confederate Navy was set up. In 1873, because of all the problems after the Civil War with the Ku Klux Klan in Tennessee, the governor declared martial law. And those of you who like art, you might see some Daumier paintings there, and the Metropolitan Museum was set up in New York City. And this is a great day in medicine for the University of California. The first medical school was set up in the University of California system. The school was set up here in San Francisco. And then they also have a dental school. And, of course, the toothpick manufacturing machine was invented on this date. And those of you who fly into O'Hare and you wonder where that name came from, well, there was a World War II American aviator named Lieutenant Butch O'Hare. In 1942, he shot down five Japanese heavy bombers. So to honor him, O'Hare Field was a military airfield. In fact, I grew up around there. It was just a military airfield in the late 50s. And Richard Daley the First decided to make it an international airport, and they decided to honor Butch O'Hare. I think it was from Chicago. And so that's why it's called O'Hare Field, O'Hare Airport today. Then in 1947, and this is a date cursed by the stars, Lord Louis Mountbatten, who was the uncle of Queen Elizabeth II, and, of course, the family is German. They changed their name in World War I from Battenberg to Mountbatten, and the Queen's side of that German family changed their name to Windsor. Anyway, Lord Mountbatten was named the first viceroy in England, in India, and to give India its independence. It was called The Jewel and the Crown, and recommend that TV series, The Jewel and the Crown. It'll give you a good insight into the history of India, or India, as they say. And, of course, my late great friend, General Francis Ingle, did several interviews with him, and they're on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas, and there will be more, including video. Anyway, he was to draw the boundaries between the Hindus wanted intact India, especially with Gandhi, and the and Nehru, and the Jinnah, who was not a conservative but a liberated Muslim. He drank, smoked cigarettes, which are all verboten, wanted an independent state of Pakistan. And the borders, there was a horrible, one of the biggest mass migrations in history, and there was a lot of slaughter of both Hindus and Muslims who were crossing. Those who were in Pakistan who were Hindu wanted to come to India. Those who were Muslims who wanted to go to Pakistan were slaughtered along the way. There was just a civil war that went on. Mountbatten's wife, Ashley, gorgeous woman, she had an affair with Nehru, who was one of the early associates and longtime associates of Mahatma Gandhi. And so this is one of the interesting aspects of history. And Lord Mountbatten himself was in the Navy. He was commander of military forces in Southeast Asia during World War II. MacArthur had the rest of Asia. he was supposed to have been a gay in his private life. He had two daughters. And then on this date, the U.S. Court of Appeals declared that baseball was not a sport but a business. So when you hear that thing about the great sport of baseball. It's really the great business of baseball. And then on this day, John Glenn became the first American to orbit the Earth. Those of you who've seen the film The Last King of Scotland, I recommend it. Great film. Idi Amin declared himself president of Uganda and then proceeded to slaughter as much of his population as he could. And here's another historical event for the Tory party in England. Margaret Thatcher became leader of the Conservative Party in 1975. And, of course, the movie is out there with, I forgot her name, good Lord. Anyway, there's a controversy about depicting a living person in this kind of movie biography. She's got supposedly her husband died. She only had two kids, twins, a boy and a girl. And then she has a law degree, and also she has a degree in chemistry. Quite a woman. But the actress, who was very good from what I've heard, but there's still this controversy about depicting a living person, because you don't know how the rest of their life's going to be, and the British are, as they say, we are not amused. today is President Day, although the 12th is the birthday of Abraham Lincoln, and then the 22nd is the birthday of President George Washington. Lincoln was, both of them were hunters, and I have a theory, which I wrote in my book, Political Animals, which we're revising, that the great presidents were all hunters. But Harry Truman was known as a pig castrator, because he was from a Missouri farm, and the word was when Harry sharpened his knife that the pigs ran squealing to the pasture to run away from Harry Truman. But Harry Truman was a fisherman, and he said, "I don't believe in shooting at anything that can't shoot back." So that was his view. But if you look at, I have a theory that the presidents who were not hunters were not great presidents, were not strong presidents. Maybe there's something there. Of course, they didn't want to be like Teddy Roosevelt, who was a great slaughterer, and also he was a great collector. He was a great hunter. And, of course, we have Carter, who was a fisherman, weak president. We don't know what Mr. O is. He does have that dog, but you rarely see that dog. Maybe they'll drag the dog out or trot the dog out when he runs for re-election, if he does. Interestingly, it cropped up in our Californians Against Voter Fraud. A guy named Gary Sherrod was wanted for murder 20 years ago in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Twice his name came up on some fraudulent voter fraud certificates. Maybe that's how they tracked him down from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Anyway, he was apprehended last week, and we'll get into that another day. Now, you're hearing a lot about mortgage fraud. Now, in 1993, and we're going to put the documents up, we had meetings with the FBI and talked to the U.S. attorney. He sent us back a letter referring our findings to the FBI. I don't know what happened. Maybe it took them that long to get to this. But the mortgage fraud that you're hearing about today is nothing new. It's been going on for at least almost 20 years. And we have the documents. We don't make statements that we can't back up. But anyway, we've had people who were also involved in what they call straw buying, using a person with good credit to buy a property for them, and then they get the property, it's signed over to them. It's illegal. This has happened with some of the same people who were involved in mortgage fraud. We also have deed of trust frauds, which were, in one case, $250,000 in deeds of trust were fraudulently signed by a building. The deeds of trust were on a building that belonged to a fraternal organization, which I was a member of later, and asked to investigate it. And this lawyer, this head of the organization, Garcia, who's a crime family head, came here from the Philippines under mysterious circumstances. He rigged membership voter records to get control of this organization. We had a lot of real estate assets. And when the members tried to oust him, he didn't have the money to hire a lawyer, so he forged signatures on real estate deeds of trust to give them to the lawyer as payment to represent him to prevent him from being ousted from the organization from which he was stealing. And, of course, we reported this to the district attorney. Helen at the time did nothing, another, because he was connected politically. So these are the kinds of things that went on. And also there's Freddie Mac fraud. It was pretty rampant. And the problem is that a lot of these properties that they ripped off and exercised these deeds on were not worth what the amount of the mortgages that were financed for. And so this is going to be part of the crash. We predict this is going to happen with this bailout of these people who were owned properties or were paying mortgages on properties that were not valued and could never be valued at what the amount of the mortgage was. And in another sense, this is out of the Revolutionary War, one of the popular songs at the end of the Revolution that Washington defeated Cornwallis at Yorktown. There was a song called The World Turned Upside Down. We couldn't find our copy, but that was played when Lord Cornwallis surrendered at Yorktown. So these are among the interesting things on this date. We did get into the Garrick Sherrod thing, and there'll be more on that because we're curious as to how he could escape apprehension for 25 years here in San Francisco when he murdered somebody in Albuquerque, New Mexico. New Mexico will be back in the news because the governor there tried to prevent the legislature there from passing a law permitting illegals to get driver's licenses or to drive without licenses, and, of course, since they don't have a license or they don't have the money, they don't have auto insurance, they get in auto accidents, guess who pays the uninsured motorist payments for medical care and all that? It's the driver that has a legitimate license and insurance. This is one of the things that's not talked about in the Obama health care program, that all this uninsured motorist hospitalization costs, nobody's talking about that, and a lot of it relates to people who are the victims of uninsured, unlicensed, illegal alien drivers. So these are things that we need to pay attention to because there are a lot more built-in costs that people don't realize until they get hit with them. Another thing is we're hearing more and more from people who are complaining about what I call the two-wheeled leisure class, the bicyclists who seem to have money for expensive coffee and croissants and some of those who are into drugs. They become a new leisure class, but yet they don't pay for licenses on their vehicles. They don't pay for, and they are vehicles even though they are two wheels. They don't pay for insurance if they hit somebody. This is another cost of the Obama health care that people are not looking at. They don't pay for all these special lanes on the roads, even on the highways. In other words, they've got a free ride all the way, and that gives them money, disposable income, so they can drink at Starbucks and have their expensive lunches, and those who are into drugs or any other vices, they've got that disposable income, which should go for licensing the bicycle, paying for bicycle liability insurance, and all the other, and then putting lights and brake lights on those bikes like you had on your tricycle when you were a child. So these are some of the things that people need to pay attention to because, in effect, the person that has a car or a truck and who contributes to the economy, because bicycles don't, is subsidizing this leisure class. And we hear complaints, but stop complaining and start. There are supposed to be laws on the books, but nobody enforces them on the bicyclists. So it's time to hold these bicyclists accountable. Enough is enough, as they say. I'm going to play just a clip from someone who was talking about what goes on in the affordable housing, because a lot of the mortgage fraud that's not being looked at has gone on in these this bogus nonprofit affordable housing. And what's happened is there are people who have been whistleblowers who have been forced out or who have been threatened and try to silence them. But at least one guy talked. He got fired, and then I managed to interview him. And I'm looking for his interview right now. It's just very brief. What really goes on in these in a project that he worked on, millions of dollars, and the way they there was a sexual abuse of children, drugs, prostitution. It's really a RICO, a real estate RICO. And oh, here we go, Federal Poverty Administrator. It's very brief, but it'll give you an idea of what goes on.
My complaint, due to the fact that there was no documentation, that I was unwilling to do any sort of testifying or anything like that. And I said, I'm more than willing to come into your office, bring you the documentation, sign a statement, an affidavit, okay, that you guys type there, okay, of my charges, and you can keep copies of the documents. They're unwilling to accept them. I ran into Ed Lumen on the street one day, and he said, oh, we'll get in touch with you. Never did.
You want to?
Yeah, we want to
try. Yeah, okay.
That wasn't part of the interview, but we were in a place where I had picked up the somebody playing the jukebox. Anyway, there's more to that interview, and we'll play that in our expose of the real estate racketeering that's going on under the guise of affordable housing. It's gone on for at least 20 years, and guess who pays? You, the American taxpayer, you, the person that may be losing their house because they may be losing their job. You've been subsidizing the slime all along. And the thing that's not talked about by the morons in the media who push affordable housing and non-accountability is the fact that American taxpayers pay for these projects. They pay for the land acquisition, the rehab or the new construction. They pay for subsidized rents. They pay for the salaries, the partnership. Fees which are hidden in there, and at the end of 20-25 years the property reverts to the people that set up the project, or usually city employees or other slime. So we'll get into that because it's all documented. It's just it's not the morons in the media who push the affordable housing agenda you know, cover this up. And there is an interesting issue that if a media person knows or is involved in covering news and an expose about real estate racketeering or any other violations of federal and state law, they know about it and cover it up. Are they obstructing justice? This is a question that's now people are beginning to ask about these people, and they should ask it and they should pursue it. Anyway, we'll end with our usual theme, politics and poker, and this is, it may be a brokered convention, that's what they're saying, if the Republicans can't get a candidate with the majority of the caucus votes. So we'll see what we shall see, as my old friend Marguerite Warren used to say. Here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey,
Tony, what are you
going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We got to pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, what's your plan?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say, neither one. I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker. Shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough.
Decisions,
like
who to pick,
how to play,
not to bet,
where to call
up. All right now, fellas, politics.
politics or poker? Which is more important?
Well, I don't know about a pair of trades. We'll be back Wednesday, and also featured this week will be the late, great Roger Karras, the voice of the American Westminster Kennel Show, American Kennel Club, and also I think he worked for ABC. This is Peter Paul Brizola. Good night.